Good morning, Rota, all the way to Marone. This is your host, Petty Officer Connor Blake, and welcome to another edition of Morning Joe with the CO. And I am joined right now by, of course, none other than Captain Suarez. And, sir, it's good to see you. How's your summer been?
Summer has been really good so far. I've been surprised by the weather at every turn. I keep expecting it to reach the broiling levels that I saw the first year that I was here. But it tends to get warm for just a little bit and then stay nice and moderate. And even got the cloud cover in the morning so that it tricks you into thinking it's going to be nice and cool and starts to warm up just a bit. But it's been a good summer so far. We've had the chance to do a little bit of travel. I think I talked about that last time I was on. But every chance we have to get away from work for just a little bit, I think, is a good chance for all of us here. And now it's just been kind of weathering the last couple of weeks of summer vacation and getting ready for school to kick back in.
It's going by quick. I can't believe it's already August.
Yeah. I'm surprised every time I see the calendar flip.
Yep.
It's terrifying for me because it's one less month that I get to enjoy living here in Rota. So, yeah, it's not always fun to see it going by so quickly.
My time is, it's gone by quick as well, sir. So, yeah. I understand. But just out of curiosity, have you been able to, cross anything off your summer bucket list so far?
I'm talking about that, I don't really have a summer bucket list. A lot of it feels like it's surviving event to event. Joking with PAO Puro Latino, which tends to rattle all the Persianis on the base. Surviving that is one of my benchmarks. That means we're getting close to the heart of summertime. Ventured out into town a couple of times already, so I've been able to find parking, get some food, and get back home before the hordes.
It's always a success.
Yeah, descend onto Rota. And then we went to Aqualand last weekend. So it's the first time that I've actually taken my kids to Aqualand. They've been there before as part of one of the CYP trips. So going there, it was a lot of fun. I think every one of us burned our feet, though, because of how hot the concrete pads are in the middle of the day. But it was a lot of fun going down those rides with the kids, getting into the wave pool with them for a little bit. It was good.
I know all about that, sir. Even as a full-grown adult, Aqualand is it's a good time.
It is. It took a little while to figure out which of the inner tubes goes on which of the slides, but once we had that figured out, we were good.
Absolutely.
What about you? How about your summer bucket lists?
I've just been enjoying the beach by my house, and actually last weekend, sir, I went first ever time whitewater rafting.
Nice.
So that was cool.
Yeah.
Got to enjoy it. It was kind of like a stream, you know, like through the mountainside, through the countryside. So that was super cool. And then I've got windsurfing by my house. So just enjoying that. And I actually just found out I'm going to Scotland for TDY this weekend.
Oh, that's cool. Scotland's an amazing place to visit.
Have not been there yet. So I'm super excited. It's been a great summer.
Yeah. Make sure you take shorts and a heavy coat.
Aye, aye.
Yeah. You never really know what's going to happen. But I think the other thing that we've been doing all summer is every time I'm in the office, I turn on AFN. As soon as I get home, I turn on the TV. I am obsessed. Swimming is perhaps my favorite thing in the world to watch. And as my son is getting ready to join the local swim club here, showing him like what those folks can do in the water, watching gymnastics is always just mind blowing. And now they're into track and field. So watching, I think we had the come from behind victory in the 400 yesterday. That was incredible to see. Watching Noah Lyles win the 100 meters. Watching the pole vault when they set the world. I forget the guy's name who set the world record on his last attempt at the pole vault. It was, all of it is amazing to me. Watching the summer games, watching the athletes, watching the camaraderie. It's just absolutely incredible. It's been absolutely amazing to watch.
Yeah, it's super, super convenient how AFN has all those games on. I'm super grateful for that. And I've also enjoyed watching, obviously, the USA, but all the countries. Yep. And getting to see, I watched Nadal the other day. It's probably going to be one of his last. I love watching him play.
And Andy Murray, too. Andy Murray had his last match as a professional. It was a lot of coming to a close here. I'm sure we've seen Simone Biles for the last time. A lot of really cool stuff to see.
Absolutely. Speaking of summer, sir, I know that there can be, like we were talking about, there's a lot of people in town.
Yeah.
And that means you got to be extra cautious, a little bit more safe.
So my wife and I were speaking with some folks from City Hall just last week at the Urta de Oro Festival, which is a cool little Rota thing where they award members of the community who have done exceptional work in supporting the outreach of the community and Rota itself, and they give them a little literal gold pin. It's the Urta de Oro, it's a type of fish made of gold. It's a little pin that they wear as a sign of recognition. But sorry, speaking with some of the members of City Hall, we were joking that August is the tax that you pay here in Rota for living here the other 11 months, because you have to deal with all of the tourists, the tripling in the population here, the fact that there's no reservations or parking spots or taxis, that the beaches are crowded, that everything is crowded. So when it's more crowded, that does bring some risks. Some of that is just the heat of the summertime, and we get out there and enjoy it more. You just got to stay hydrated. Make sure that you're putting something good into your body while you're getting out there and enjoying the sun. The petty crime does go up. Rota is an incredibly safe place. Incredibly safe place. But when you have all of the tourists who come down here, there are some folks who join that wave with some less than noble intentions. So we do tend to see a rise in petty crimes like pickpocketing. We do have folks who have lost stuff from their cars. It's just a reminder to make sure that, number one, roll your windows up, lock your cars, take your passes out of the windscreen, and make sure that there's nothing visible sitting in the seat, so there's no target for them. I don't like necessarily conflating the terms, but don't be an easy target, right? Make sure that you're taking care of all of your stuff. And then be smart in who you're hanging out with and what you're doing with all them. So surround yourself with people who you trust, people who have your interest at heart, while you're taking care of them as well. So surround yourself with good people, make sure your stuff's out of sight, and just take care of yourself. Make sure that you're putting good stuff into your body as you're heading out there, and you can go out there and enjoy all this. There is something cool about going to a beach where it's just covered with people and umbrellas, and you got the chiringuitos and the music, and everybody's out there just having fun. There's not a lot of places that the Navy sends you that is this amazing. So get out there and take advantage of it. I think it's a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's like, even if huge crowds aren't like your cup of tea, it's like there's definitely something, the experience of going out there and everybody's having a good time that you won't forget. So
yeah, absolutely.
I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Good.
Yeah. But sir, I'm going to go to a quick song break.
Yeah.
But speaking of petty crime and overall security in general, when we get back from the music break, we'll have SECO Lieutenant Eric Lee and ASECO Lieutenant Eric Miller here to join us for the show and share some insights from National Night Out and other security department nights. So stay tuned, folks. You are not going to miss that. But first, let's listen to Run DMC and Aerosmith with Walk This Way. 7:16 a.m. and welcome back to Morning Joe with the CEO. Once again, this is your host, DJ C-Time, a.k.a. Petty Officer Connor Blake. And of course, I'm joined right now by Captain Teek Suarez, NAVSTAY Rota Commanding Officer. And sir, we have some very special guests with us right now.
We do have some special guests. One of the things that we have had the chance to do this summer is enjoy National Night Out earlier this week. It was really cool. They had the parade of all the emergency response vehicles lined up in the circle. They did a short parade over to Seaview Pines. And then they set up some displays for the community members, for family members to come out and get to see what all of our security and emergency response folks do here. I thought it was a huge success. And I will say perhaps the most popular thing was getting one of the MAs into that black suit and just letting the kids wail on them with the little batons. It was the most fun I had when I was there. But yeah, so we have Lieutenant Eric Lee and Lieutenant Junior Grade Eric Miller here with us. That's from the Ace Echo. So welcome, gents. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Morning, sir. Thank you.
Yep, morning. Thank you.
So it's going to be a very one-sided conversation, I can tell. So before we get too much into you guys, can you tell us a little bit about the security department itself? What is it that you and the team that you lead do for us here in Rota?
Well, sir, so on board the installation, the safety and security of all personnel, but sort of one of the interesting nuances here, as we're all well familiar with, is we're not the only policing force on the base. We also have the Police Nacional, also the Rota Police Department, and additionally our neighbors, the Spanish Marines, the Spanish Naval Police. So we share these roles and responsibilities to provide safety and security for everyone with them. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so one thing that I try and tell all of our folks here is that we're focused on making sure that the warfighters are able to go out and do their job. And I view what you do as a fundamental thing here. So if they are worried at all about their safety and security or the safety and security of their family, then they're not going to be able to focus on their job. So you talked about the other departments who are the other organizations that we work with. How much of a challenge or what are the benefits of being able to work with the Policía Nacional or the Spanish National Police?
Well, that's a great
fighting for the microphone right
that's
there.
That's a great question. Sorry, I had to beat the ASEC out of that one. But I think it's a very interesting opportunity. Whenever within the Navy as a whole, you get to go somewhere and spend time with host nation forces. You share sea stories basically, but not only that. More specific to the job, the tactics. You see different way of doing things. And sometimes it helps you further develop your own methods, and you get better, and they get better. And in most cases, at least in my experience, it's been a beneficial relationship when you get that sort of opportunity.
So, Aseko, you were coming from a carrier to join us here, right?
Yes, sir. The USS Harry S. Truman, wherever they're at, I know they're giving them hell.
So, what was the biggest transition for you coming from a carrier to working on Naval Station Road?
The installation presents its own challenges, sir. I think on a carrier, everything's more streamlined, I would say. There were a lot of things I did on a carrier where here... That correspondence has to go a lot higher, but it's kind of single faceted on a carrier. You've got your daily operations and then your waterborne stuff, but on a base, everything is so diverse. We've got access control, physical security, anti-terrorism, harbor patrol, military working dogs, and I know for me as a young officer, it's really expanded my knowledge. I knew coming here, I'd never done the harbor patrol or canine, but just in the short time of me being here and seeing what they do, I had my perception of what happened, and I knew a little bit of the instructions involved in it, but seeing those folks work every day and how much goes on behind the scenes just to get, a leash on that canine to get it to work or just to get that boat in the water is outstanding, and it's something I've never seen before.
So what was your journey to get to where you are as the ASECO here with us?
Well, it was accidental. I joined the Navy, and I ended up going to a pretty significant command just by happenstance. I was one of the few people that qualified to go there, and unknowingly at the time, it was one of our milestone billets for MAs, and from there, I just tried to never do the same thing twice. To make sure that time I was eligible, I could be as diverse as possible and show a background that sustained superior performance in multiple facets of our enterprise. And it helped having my wife there, who never let me slow down. And I mean that in a good way. She truly, every time I would have a second of doubt, she was there to encourage me and remind me that there's nothing that we can't do, and I know without a doubt I wouldn't be here without her motivation.
Seko, what about you? What was your path towards security officer here?
Well, so my path towards the Navy and becoming security officer, I grew up in Florida, so anything on the water, scuba, boating, sort of the beach scene, so the Navy was sort of a natural transition to me. Transition for me. Always been interested in law enforcement, educational background in law enforcement. My initial thought was potentially to become a police officer. The opportunity just presented itself. I met a recruiter by happenstance in a storefront. And as any good recruiter, that's worth his mettle does, he gave me a pretty good pitch. And I think the next weekend I was off to MEP. So... since then, it's sort of just like ASECO. I mean, anybody that's got any experience with this organization, it goes by fast, and you go so many places and see so many things, and it's been a great journey so far, and I'm hoping to keep it rolling as long as the Navy wants to keep me around.
So other than the obvious answer of Naval Station Rota, what have been your favorite duty stations, ASECO?
You know, it's funny. I get asked that question a lot, and to narrow it down is difficult. I've always found the good everywhere I've been. Some of my best friends today are from my very first duty station. It was arduous. The work was very demanding, but the relationships we built, because we had nobody else to confide in except each other. So I've got to tip my hat to Strategic Weapons Facility Pacific up in Bangor, Washington. Naval Station Norfolk is I think, where I had the best leaders. To this day, I've got mentors that have since retired that I still keep in contact with, seek advice from. I would have to say, even though it was short-lived, I would say San Diego and the Bonhomme Richard was probably my favorite place. That's where I learned the most. That's where I saw the most. And we were surrounded by family in San Diego as well. So I think as far as living situation, San Diego was probably my favorite. And happy wife, happy life.
So, Seko, what about you?
So probably unpopular opinion here, but Guam. Early in my career, I got the opportunity to go to Guam. Ended up OTEP in there. Absolutely loved it. You can drive from one end of the island to the other in about 45 minutes, surrounded by beaches, beautiful reefs, snorkeling, scuba, a couple different beaches on base, a couple dive spots on base. You know, anybody that loves being by the water, I mean, Guam, you can't get enough of it. They also have a Kmart, so, I mean, those are going away really fast, though. So if you want to get that nostalgia, Guam is about the only place left.
I will say that almost everybody I've met who's had the chance to live and work in Guam has loved it. So it seems like it's something that people often go to kicking and screaming, but then they leave kicking and screaming too because they fall in love with that place. That is one of the few Liberty ports that we had when I was on Nimitz, but it was by far the best one that we had because of the chance to go to the beaches, chance to get in the water and just relax for a while. It was fantastic. So can you guys explain a little bit about, so you touched on it somewhat, what does security do here? What are all the various departments that we have? Because I think when most people think of security, they see the patrol cars, they see the MAs at the gate, and maybe the folks who are out on the waterfront, but there's a lot more that goes into it. So what's some of the other stuff that you guys cover?
Sure, I'll start that one off. So there's a number of different divisions in the security department. I won't list them all, but you know, as ASEC alluded to, Military Working Dog, Harbor Patrol Unit, those two divisions specifically, Harbor Patrol providing that level of security in the harbor, providing escorts for assets that are coming in and leaving. The Military Working Dogs, sweeping all the various locations on base, looking for contraband, doing a number of different routine activities to keep this base safe and secure. And that's not it, right? There's so many different divisions. I would call out specifically Spanish Services downstairs, which is, you know, maybe not often mentioned, but there's a group of about 25 local national hires that work down there that are executing Spanish access control policy on behalf of all U.S. service members and affiliated personnel. So they sort of provide that vital function for everybody to get their vehicle passes, to get their personnel passes, to get everything registered, and basically all the mundane functions, if you will, that allow us to get on board this base. So they play a pretty important role, and they probably aren't often mentioned or really thought of. I'll turn it over to ASECO and see if he wants to speak to anyone.
So aside from the Military Working Dogs, Harbor Patrol, Spanish Services have been mentioned, we've got physical security. Civilian hire, our physical security officer, Miss Eileen Marcus, does a phenomenal job. To put all that on just a small group of people, she's got a shop of about four folks that are running all physical security. And for those that don't know, it's, you know, standoff distances, unified facilities criteria, barriers, Linnell systems for every building on this base, every tenant command. She's assisting with any trouble tickets, with EHSS, any camera, any alarm, all that funnels through Miss Eileen and her team there. We've got anti-terrorism. Lieutenant Talbert's the installation anti-terrorism officer. He's got a small group of folks that help. I don't want to go through the whole risk management process. There's a lot it entails, but I can assure you it's very meticulous, very time-consuming. And for every building on this base, they're doing assessments, surveys, and not just for buildings, but for personnel as well. And any requirement that comes down to escalate, I know we had some exercise or increase in readiness a few weeks ago, and all that runs through a small shop of people that disperse that to a larger population, and it's difficult, it's stressful, it's very, like I said, meticulous and time consuming, but they really buckle in and they get the job done, and our hats off to them. And of course, we're a little slower in a good way from a lot of installations when it comes to law enforcement. You know, you never want to have that bad day, but our folks down there in patrol and operations are always ready for it. But luckily here, it's a little more relaxed, and it helps us put a lot of effort into those other pillar programs that deserve and require a lot of attention. We've got crime prevention, things that go on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know about is, you know, lost and found, evidence custody from any case that we've had here that has to get inventoried quarterly, and just so much effort that goes on behind closed doors that a lot of people don't realize. It's not just folks carrying a weapon waving at you when you leave the ACP. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes just to make that happen, and we can't thank our team enough for everything they do every day. It's a lot of work, and they do it with a smile.
Yeah, so I think the bluff for all of that is there is a lot that the security department does to make sure that all of the folks who live and work here don't have to worry about the small, the mundane, the very in-depth programs that you guys manage here, so that they can just get on to the base, they have access to the base, they can safely drive to their place of work. They can be assured as they sit down to their computer or they get to work that the security of their building is something that we are monitoring for them, that when they head over to get a bite to eat at the galley or at Bombers or something like that, they're going to be safe as they transit. They're going to be safe as they sit down to get food, that when it's time for their kids to go back to school, that the kids are safe at school, that all of those things you guys are worried about so they don't have to. So they can just go about their daily lives and rest assured that you've got their six, that you guys are making sure that they are safe.
All right, sir. And on that note, we will take a quick song break. Coming up next is going to be Eye of the Tiger. And Seko, this one's for you. But stay tuned, because when we come back, we are going to be talking about National Night Out. You're going to get a full recap. You're not going to want to miss it. So stay tuned right here on AFN Road of the Eagle. 7:35 a.m. and welcome back to Morning Joe with the CO right here on AFN Rota. This is your host, Petty Officer Connor Blake, and right now, Captain Suarez and I are joined by Seko and A-Seko, that is Lieutenant Eric Lee and Lieutenant Eric Miller. And, sir, yeah, I kind of wanted to talk about National Night Out.
Yeah, one of the divisions you guys talked about was the Military Working Dogs. And I think one of the best displays we had was the demonstration of the military working dogs at National Night Out. But before we dive into National Night Out, that team reaches throughout Europe, right? So how do they support other elements or other things that are happening throughout the region?
So our kennels utilize a lot throughout the region. We'll get taskers come down where we'll send a team to, you know, depending on what events happening in our AOR, to cover down, provide security. Since I've been in, I've seen folks travel to Fenway Park for the Home Run Derby because the president was going, you know, fun things like that. But also, you know, they find themselves in some hairier situations too. A lot of stuff going on in the Middle East. We've sent right now we've got a team that just left last week to go support down in Djibouti in Africa.
Yeah, so I've seen down in Djibouti, so supporting operations down there. We've seen teams go back to the States. I've seen teams head throughout Europe to support high-ranking DV visits. So I think it's incredible that the team that we have here, the one that supports us on the base, also supports the president, the vice president, some of the most senior officials in the U.S. government. I think it's a really interesting aspect of the job that you guys support here. But at National Night Out, they were showing some of the skills, and I've been on the receiving end of some of those skills that the dogs have. But what is National Night Out? What does it mean? What's it about?
So National Night Out, it's got quite a history. It's been going on for many, many years. And really, not to get into too much of the details, but it used to be properly funded, and there was a lot of money set aside for it. It was a big deal. And, you know, as other things have become prioritized over the years and things have fallen away, that unfortunately has just sort of been one of them. However, you know, both CONUS and OCONUS departments, military and civilian, have sort of kept the trend going, right? So now it's sort of up to the departments and their local community that supports them and so on and so forth. So specifically for us here, we wouldn't have been able to make National Night Out happen without support from a number of the organizations on base, you know, specifically the commissary, MWR, and a lot of the other organizations that set up booths there. But without their donations of time and goods, we wouldn't be able to provide a free event like that to the community. So that's a very important aspect, I think, not just about the organizations on base from the perspective of, you know, law enforcement and EOD and the Spanish law enforcement agencies from out in town. Just breaking out their gear and talking to everybody and showing everybody a little bit about what they do. It's the other organizations that support the setup and the breakdown and the drinks and the food and all that kind of stuff.
So I will say one of the most impressive drivings I saw was somebody maneuvering the grader around all of the cars that had parked on the road heading up into Seaview Pines. So what was the goal of National Night Out? Why did we set that up for the community here?
So the big piece there is community inclusion, community policing, right? So we have the opportunity to serve the community here. It's not a right. It's a privilege. And so we like to sit down and break everything out and sort of have that conversation. And especially the younger kids and stuff like that, they can see all the stuff that we do. And it's, again, all sort of supposed to culminate or lead to tying those lines of effort specifically to community policing, which is essentially where you have a relationship with the policing function or organization has a relationship, a working relationship with you, if you will, with the community that they are policing. So it is less adversarial in nature and more of a cooperation, if you will, between two entities trying to, you know, just be safe and be secure.
Did you guys have a favorite part? What did you most enjoy when you were there?
For me personally, it's seeing the looks on all the kids' faces. You know, being a father, being a dad, I spent a lot of my kids' lives deployed, and I had nothing else to say. You know, every dad wants to be cool, so when they say where you're going, I'd always say going to get the bad guys. And so to see the looks on their face when they get to see the, you know, the canines, the boats, the weapons on display, everything kind of gave the kids a little more insight of what we do. And I know for me, like that was my favorite part, was just the excitement on all the kids' faces. I could hear all the questions getting asked, and not just for the kids, but for us too. Sometimes we get so caught up in work that it can be very mundane. It can be very thankless. You know, I've been at E1, standing a post in the rain, and it's 20 degrees outside, turns to snow and ice, and it's thankless at times. But to see the community and to see everyone come together, and for our own folks, to see that support, I think it kind of relights a fire, relights a purpose. And as much as we reinforce it at our level, you know, it's kind of like when your parents tell you everything's going to be okay, and you're like, oh, okay, and then someone else tells you, you know, thank you or something. It just means more coming from the community, I think. And for me, that was my favorite part. I know when we came to work the next day, everybody seemed a little more reinvigorated and happy to do the job.
How about you, Seko? What was your favorite part?
Well, it's hard to narrow it down, sir. A lot of the displays out there were pretty cool. I like the harbor one. I like being able to get up on the HBU boat. I think the kids got a big kick out of that.
It's a very audible kick.
Yeah, maybe less air horn next year. Sorry, everybody. We'll try to tone that down. But spent some time at HBU, you know, earlier in my career, and a lot of fun on the boats. So I thought that was cool. The security weapons tent, there were some, you know, cooler weapon systems out there, but GM1 Paz Pinto was out there, and he had an M18, an M4, and an M500 set up, and I got to sit down there a little bit, you know, as the kids were walking up, and he was, you know, showing them the safe manipulation of those weapon systems and allowing them to take pictures and stuff like that. Getting that opportunity to see him interact with some of the folks and stuff like that was pretty cool. I enjoyed seeing that.
Yeah, I will say my son learned a lesson last year, because as we were walking up there, he said he was talking with his friends about going to see the weapons displays again. And I just asked him, all right, what's the number one rule? He's like, treat every weapon as if it's loaded. So I do think it's great that we not only show them the stuff that we have, but you actively demonstrate the safe manner in which we use them, whether it's a weapon or it's the boats or the cars or anything that happened to be out there. So overall, I love the event. Like I said, my favorite part was probably watching the kids get to beat up some of your MAs, especially there was one who she was actively egging them on. It was a lot of fun watching her just kind of get in there and swing at them as they were swinging back. So with National Night Out, I think one of the other pieces, there's really two more things that I thought were really important. Number one, it wasn't just the security department. You mentioned it earlier, Seko. There was the entire slew of folks who were out there as part of the team that provides for the safety and security. And I think for a lot of people, they would just show up to National Night Out and see Guardia Civil had elements there, Policia Nacional had a tent there, there was security there, there was folks from the CBs, there was an ambulance there, and it was just one big team that takes care of the community here. And then for me, who worries a lot about the relationship that we have with the community around us, with the community here in southern Spain, I think it helps a lot that there were so many of the Spanish families there who saw that we were shoulder to shoulder. That in fact, the Guardia Civil was nestled in the shadow of the boat when we were there. So it's just, it's one collective team there, and it's an assurance with the Spanish community that we take the whole community as part of who we try and protect and provide security for. So I think that whole, the whole setup, the way that you guys put that together was absolutely wonderful and demonstrating, visibly demonstrating how it is one team that's taking care of us all here. So I think we might kick it over to music for just a minute, but you guys, I'm going to test your knowledge on the security division. You talk a big game when you have the script in front of you. Let's see if you can answer the questions that we got for you.
It's almost game time.
Almost game time.
All right, yeah, we're going to take a quick song break, but stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Jeopardy right here on AFN. But first, here is Chapel Roan with Good Luck, Babe, right here on AFN. 7:48 a.m. and welcome back to Morning Joe with the CO right here on AFN Rota. And Captain Suarez is here with Aseco and Seco of Napstate Rota. And yes, sir, it's game time.
I think it's game time. Yeah. So, gents, I've got three questions here. And I will tell you that my favorite security officer is the one who gets the most right.
It's a serious business.
But as we all know, it's a team sport here in Rota. We work together. We support each other. So we're going to show the folks listening just how well you know your teams. You guys ready?
We stay ready so we don't have to get ready, sir.
All right. So, this security department division guards the waters that surround Navste Rota and Base Naval Rota to maintain safe, orderly use of our shared waterfront.
It's a tough one, sir.
Captain, I think we're going to lock in. What is Harbor Patrol?
Harbor Patrol. So, this is not Jeopardy answering in the form of a question gets you lost points. But that is correct. All right. So, this security department division assists with vehicle and personal identification in order to attain access onto the installation.
Yes, sir. I think that's probably going to be Mr. Caetano and his group down there in Spanish services executing that access control policy on behalf of all U.S. personnel.
It is. Mr. Caetano, who also has his own, he's part of a group out in the in Ferias, so he has a caseta that he's a member of. And coincidentally, this year when I went with some of the members of City Hall, they choose a caseta to go have a meal with after they do the opening ceremonies, and they actually went to Cayetano's. So I had a chance to visit with him there for a little bit. That was one of the cooler experiences of my Feria trips. All right, finally, this one's not fair since we talked about them so much. This security department division provides vital security through explosive and narcotics detection using our four-legged friends.
Well, it's hard to narrow down the four legs in security, but I think we'll lock in military working dog, sir.
Yeah, I think that one was pretty straightforward. But those are just part of the security team, and I would love to take the chance before we transition to things that are coming up just to reinforce with the community that there is so much that the security department does to support the community, the families, the service members who live and work here on the installation. And if we're doing it right, and you guys are, then they won't notice most of it. Like I said, they'll see the patrol cars out there every now and then. They will see the folks at the gate as they are heading back out. And every now and then they'll see one of the dogs who are taking a break over by the pool, just getting a little bit of a workout before they get back in the van. But they won't see the anti-terrorism stuff that they're working through, the physical security. They'll only have one or two times that they work with the access control folks. And everything just happens because of the work that you guys and your teams put in every day to make sure that we've got that stuff laying flat for them. So, and for me, to you guys, thank you for the leadership that you provide that department. But really thank you to the team that you guys lead for all the work that they do every day, making sure that the warfighters are able to focus on the warfighting because you guys are taking care of the safety and security of everybody else here on the installation. So I think we had some really good conversation, so I'm running out of time. So I'm just going to transition right now to some of the stuff that's coming up, if everybody's okay with that. So,
perfect.
Next week, I think, yeah, next week we've got the Back to School Resource Fair and a quasi-town hall over in the Navy Exchange. So from 13 to 1600, we're going to be over in the NEX main store. We'll have a bunch of resources out there for families and students as they really start to look forward to the beginning of the school year. And I'll be there to answer any questions that anybody might have about some of the back-to-school related stuff, about the school year itself, the school. We'll have some of the new leadership that's there with us. We have a new principal and vice principal at the high school. We have a new vice principal that's working at the elementary school. And as always, I'll be happy to answer any questions that the community brings to me. On the 19th, really big day. For all the families, really big day because it's the first day of school. So we're going to be some quiet houses after all the celebrating. Once the kids are back in school. But we will have the bell ringing ceremony. So as we welcome all of the kids to school, as we welcome a lot of those first-time members of DF school, there's a lot of new family members, new kids who are coming to school. It's a chance for the school to welcome everybody in and kind of kick it off. A huge day for those in uniform, as it is when CPO results will be announced. So there will be a lot of very excited and very nervous Chief Petty Officer selects as we kick off the season around the installation. And then on August 30th, we've got Labor Day weekend, so the chance to say farewell, really, to the summer season as we transition back into fall, really get back into the swing of things as we transition towards fall. So a lot of cool stuff that's coming up this summer, but we do still have a couple of weeks of summer break. We do have summer weather. We do have the chance for a lot of people to travel, and I will urge everybody to take advantage of living and really getting paid to work and live in a place that all of Northern Europe comes to visit over the summertime. We live in a vacation destination for most of Europe. So if you have the chance to get out there and enjoy it, I fully urge you, get out there and enjoy it. It may be a little bit of a wait to get a bite to eat, but it's going to be some amazing food surrounded by an amazing community. And it's just a heck of a lot of fun. Yeah, get out there and have some fun.
All right, sir. Well, I might be a little bit biased, but I think that might be one of the best morning joes we've ever done.
You're only saying that because security's right here and they can give you a ticket.
This is true. But Seco, Seco, it was super nice to meet you. Thank you for coming on. And also thank you for everything that you do around base and making sure the community is safe and taken care of. And we hope to have you back on in the future.
Sure. Absolutely.
Alrighty, and sir, as always, it was a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, MC2.
And I will see great. You. I will see you again next month.
Sounds
and
good.
Everybody, thank you for tuning in. That is going to be our Morning Joe with the CO show, 7:55 a.m. Let's get back to the music. Coming up next to close out is Ho Hey by the Lumineers right here on AFN Road of the Eagle, serving America's best.